Jonah chapter number 1. We've been looking at some of the Old Testament books here since the beginning of the year. Not all the sermons, but some of them have been. Last week looked at the book of Ruth. Earlier we had looked about Consider Your Ways from the book of Haggai. And here we're going to look a little bit this morning on the story of Jonah. As we've been talking about from the beginning of the year, consider Christ, consider what he's done, consider who he is and what he's done for you, consider how he would want you to respond. And then we've gone through about considering your ways, considering your latter end. And today we're going to look about consider his presence. Consider his presence. You know, it's interesting. It says in Jonah chapter 1, verse number 5, that but Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. And he thought, hey, I'm going to get out of here. And I don't want to be here. I don't want to listen to what God's trying to tell me to do. I am just going to go ahead and flee from God's presence. The bad thing is, I don't think it's a bad thing, but the thing is that you can never flee from the presence of God. God's everywhere. And in the scriptures today, we're going to look at this and try to help understand, like last week when we looked at the story of Elimelech and Ruth, how we made the comment that either we're growing closer to God and going closer to him, or we're going farther away from him. We started off last week's sermon with the idea of, hey, which way are you headed? Are you headed to heaven or are you headed to hell? And if you're headed to heaven, then wonderful. Are you in your walk going closer to God or are you going the other way? And we looked at a couple different examples about that, and especially Elimelech and Ruth. But here, Jonah actually admits and says, I am fleeing from the presence of God. And here I like to see this idea of what it means to flee from the presence of God. And let's go ahead and read a few verses here. We saw in Jonah chapter number 1, verse number 1. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto the Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So God in verse number 1 comes and speaks to Jonah and says, Jonah, who is a prophet, known earlier from the book of in the Kings that we were introduced to him. God says, I got a job for you. And that's what the prophet's supposed to do. A prophet's supposed to go and speak the words of God. And God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, no, I don't want to go. So Jonah decides to go the complete opposite direction, and he says he goes on a ship to Tarshish. Verse number 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. So there's a storm that the Lord sends on purpose to try to get Jonah's attention, and it's almost as if the ship was going to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten of them. So they're there, they're trying to save the ship, they're trying to save themselves. They cast even the things that they're carrying, the merchandise. It doesn't help. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. So they begin to cry out to their gods. Always in a storm, somebody has somebody they're crying out to, and they have all their own gods. And the shipmaster goes downstairs where Jonah's asleep and tell him, wake up, call upon your God. And they said in verse number 7, they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? So the lot is cast upon Jonah. That was a way that they would look back then and try to determine whose fault it was. And something that back in those times is something they would do on a familiar, regular basis. And it fell on Jonah. And as it fell upon Jonah, they started asking him questions. Okay, why is this storm happening? Who are you? Where are you from? Verse number 9, he says, and he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. I want you to think about this in verse number 10, that last phrase. He says, because he had told him. What did he tell him? He said he had told the men earlier that he was fleeing from the presence of God. He made a decision in his heart, a decision in his life. God was here. God wanted him to be here. And he thought he could actually flee from the presence of God. Even last week when we looked about Elimelech, and Elimelech who left Bethlehem to go to Moab, he left his place of position, he left his place of provision, he left his place of promise, he left his place of purpose. He left over here, but because he went to sojourn, we really didn't think he was planning on staying. He was just doing what he thought was right in his own eyes, like most of the people was doing. Jonah here, as a prophet, knows exactly what God is saying and saying to him, hey, I know what you want, God, and I am fleeing to somewhere else. So the question is, are we going to God or are we fleeing from God? And what does it mean by the presence of the Lord? Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful. Well, I pray that you help us this morning. Lord, I pray you give us the words that you once said, Lord, that you use me as your mouthpiece. And Lord, I pray that nothing come out of my mouth that you don't want to come out, nothing that my own thinking, my own merit, but Lord, instead it be the words that you once said. And Lord, I pray you help all of us to be ready to hear what you want them to hear. I know there's a lot of distractions out there. I know the devil's really good at trying to distract people. I know even in a church service, people come and they come for different reasons, but Lord, we've come to worship you. And Lord, true worship is to listen to your word. And Lord, I pray that you just give us a desire to be changed this morning, to become more like you. If there's someone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I know you're going to have to speak to their heart, and you're going to have to work in their lives. And Lord, we ask you to do that. We know that you're interested in everyone knowing you and everyone being saved. And Lord, we pray that everyone is headed towards heaven. If not, Lord, they get that right today. But Lord, for those of us that know we're on our way to heaven, help us to see this truth that we are going to you and not fleeing from your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if I would ask you the question, fill in the blank after I say these two words, what would you say? Jonah and the whale. Was it a whale or a fish? It says it's a fish in the New Testament, says a whale. Most people think that the story of Jonah is about a whale. Did you know that whale or that fish is only mentioned 4 times in Jonah? Did you know the man Jonah actually is mentioned 18 times in the story of the book of Jonah? You know who's mentioned the most? God is. It's not a story about Jonah. It's not a story about a fish. It's a story about God, and it's a story about God loving Jonah and God loving the souls of Nineveh. But when you're reading this story, as you look at it, if you read it, it's really almost like a conversation between God and Jonah. God comes to Jonah and says, hey, I got something you want to do. Jonah says, no, I'm going to flee. God then sends the wind, and he sends the rain, and he sends the fish. And Jonah gets right, and Jonah begins to have his conversation back with God, and God speaks to him again in chapter 3, verse number 1. And then Jonah responds. Then Jonah becomes unhappy, and then Jonah cries out and complains to God, and God responds again. If you read the story, it's about a great God that can do all things, like we heard Mr. Chambers singing about, and it's telling us, hey, there's a God who loves Jonah, but there's also a God that loves Nineveh. And in our story of life, sometimes we like to think it's about, hey, it's about me and my family, or hey, it's about me and my job, or hey, it's about me and my talents, or hey, it's about me and something else. But in all reality, all our stories are centered around, hey, it's about God and my relationship with him. He should be first and foremost in our life. When we see this here in verse number 3, you see this the phrase that is mentioned. He says, from the presence of God. So when you think about that word presence of God, what comes to your mind? What comes to your heart? Now, I know what some of you might be saying. Well, God is everywhere. God is present everywhere, and that is true. Think about what the psalmist said. He says, whether shall I go from thy spirit? Whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. He's there. He's an ever-present God. Hebrews 13, verse 5, the promise that's given to us as believers, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he says he's there all the time. So how can he flee from the presence of God? See, Jonah is making a decision that he wants to not live consciously in the presence of God. I remember a number of years ago, I think the first person I ever heard said it was Clarence Sexton, but I heard a number of other preachers say it, you know, the importance of living consciously in the presence of God, which means that we take every step and every moment of our lives and understand that we're always in God's presence, no matter what we're doing. He's everywhere, whether we it says up in heaven or in hell, or whether it's out in the water or out in the sky, he's everywhere. And if we would consciously live in his presence, our lives would be different. I tell you, sometimes when we go somewhere and somebody's with us, we act a little bit differently. You know, if my mom was with me, sometimes I probably act a little bit better around her because I don't want to disappoint her, because I like to joke around and play around, and sometimes she just looks at me, and when she looks at me, I'm like, oh, I don't want to say that. I don't want to joke around. I don't want to play around because I hate to disappoint her. But there's more important than my mom being watching me. There's a God that watches me and knows me. And it's not just about Nineveh in this story. God is interested in Jonah also. See, most of us think, hey, it's all about my destination. Hey, as long as Jonah gets it, but that's not the case. The destination is not Nineveh for Jonah. It's what directions he's going. Remember we talked about last week, your direction will determine your destination. So he hears from God, and God says, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he says, no, thank you. I'm actually going to leave the presence of God. So what he's saying is, instead of living in your presence, instead of consciously living and abiding by your commandments and by your will and by your word for my life, I am not going to worship you. Instead, I am leaving your presence. I am leaving the thought of you. I am leaving your obedience. I am leaving your provision. I am leaving your promises. I am forsaking the presence of God. I am not going to put God in my mind anymore. Instead, I'm going this way. And that's exactly what he does. He says, I'm going to flee the presence of God. I know what God wants me to do, but instead, I'm going the other way. You might say, hey, Pastor, you talked a little bit about this last week, and here you're again talking about this. I'm in church today. I'm not running from the presence of God. What worries me is there are a lot of believers today that can even come to a church and sit in a church service and still their heart be far away from God. I think about the story of the prodigal son, and I know the one son left his father, and he went and he came to himself in the pig pen and came back. But what about the older brother? He never left the house of the father, but still his heart was very far away from the father. And it's very foolish for a person to think that they can flee from the presence of God. I still think about Adam and Eve was the first time when it talks about somebody hiding from the presence of God. God is created, and there's a garden there. And what do they do? Once they sin, they clothe themselves, and then they go and hide themselves thinking that, hey, we can hide from God. How foolish is that? And then later on, you see their son Cain talks about leaving, going out from the presence of God. And over in scriptures, it talks about the presence of God, the presence of God. And we use that as a way to say, you better make sure you're doing right because you're always in the presence of God. But there's a second side of that too. Last year when we talked a little bit about delighting in his presence, it comes from the fact that, yes, in the presence of God makes me not want to sin, but in the presence of God there is great joy. If Jonah would learn that, hey, I live consciously in the presence of God, and I want to abide by his will, I want to listen to his word, I want to learn how to worship, because that's what happens in the presence of God, then guess what? There is fullness of joy in God's presence. Some people say, well, I'm in the presence of God. I can't say that. I can't do that, blah, blah, blah. But also in the presence of God is what? There's peace. There's hope. If God is there, you know what? And God's able to help us, which he can do all things. If I'm in his presence, I know that he knows everything. I know he can take care of me. I know he has what my best interest at heart. So I want you to understand today, are we fleeing from the presence of God or are we going towards it? So here's three things today I'd like you to look at and consider when we look at these things. The first thing I want you to think about is the presence of God. The presence of God reminds us of his word. The presence of God reminds us about his word. Look what it says in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. In this story here, this is about spiritual things. This is not about geographical things. When he's saying he's fleeing from the presence of the Lord, he's not saying, okay, I don't want to go to Nineveh, I'm going to Tarshish. What he's saying is, I don't want what God wants for me. And in the presence of the Lord, you have to remember or you're reminded of the word of God. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're in the presence of somebody, you'll always be remembering what they're saying. There are some things, as I mentioned, some things that my mother says to me if I'm in her presence. I'll be reminded, yes, she feels that way. Yes, that's how she feels about this. Or yes, this is what she likes or dislikes because I'm there. If I stand in the presence of God, God will continually remind me about his word. Remember here, the problem isn't the fact that God isn't speaking in this. The problem isn't the fact that God hasn't given a word to Jonah. The problem is not the fact that God did not tell Jonah what he wanted to do. Instead, Jonah hears what he wants him to do. Jonah hears the word of God, and he flees from it. He no longer wants to live in the conscience presence of God. He instead chooses, I don't want God in my life, and I am going to leave. And when you leave the presence of God and living consciously in the presence of God, you say, I don't want his word. See, in God's presence, we're reminded of his word. Remember, Jonah was fleeing from what? He was fleeing from what God said. He was fleeing from what God desired. All throughout the book, God is speaking over and over again. Throughout the whole Bible, God speaks to us. He speaks in creation. He says, let there be light, and there was light. He speaks to us through his Son. In Hebrews, it talks about the diverse ways that he speaks to us, and one of them is through Jesus Christ. And he speaks to us through his word. He's given us his word. It's not the problem that God is not trying to speak to us. Question is whether or not we're trying to listen. It's not the fact that we are not all conscious, not all living in the presence of God and walking before him day and night. It's whether or not we're conscious about it and whether or not we care about it and whether or not we want to be reminded of his word. Jonah wanted to go down to Tarshish. Jonah wanted to go down into the boat. He wanted to go down into the sides of the boat. He wanted to do whatever he could to not be reminded of God and reminded of God's word. He says, I am fleeing from what God plans for me. I'm fleeing from God's word. You go and you read through the book of Jonah. It's a really short book. I've read it through a number of times and just here recently. It's amazing. Everybody listens to God but Jonah here. Think about it. The sea listened to Jonah. The wind listened to Jonah. You go and you read through, there's a gourd that listened to Jonah. The people in Nineveh listened to God. The people in Nineveh listened to God. The sea obeyed God. The winds obeyed God. You know, everybody listened and obeyed God. The Son even obeyed God. The Creator God of the universe. All these things and all these people listen and obey God, but Jonah. I don't know about you. Isn't that just like man? I mean, the whole world, the whole creation obeys God, but man, they consider if we should obey God or not. And if you consciously live in the presence of God, you'll be reminded. It isn't so much like us that all of creation responds to God, but man considers whether or not he's going to listen. If you consciously live in the presence of God, you're going to be reminded of his word constantly and daily. The Holy Spirit of God is going to say, hey, if you're trying your best to live according to the word, it's going to be a continual reminder. But if you decide to stop and flee from God, yes, the Holy Spirit's going to try to get you to come back. Sometimes God will send, you know, the wind or send the rains or send the storms in your life. They're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to get you back into the conscience presence of God. Is God still there? It's not about where God is, because God's everywhere. It's about where Jonah is. It's not about where God is in your life. God is still there. God's always been there. God was in Joppa. God was in Tarshish. God was in Nineveh. God was in Israel. God was in the boat. God was in the fish. God was everywhere. But the question is, where was Jonah? Jonah was fleeing from the presence of God. So I want you to understand, if you really truly say, hey, I want to do what's right and I want to live consciously, I don't want to flee from the presence of God, it's going to mean you're going to have to listen to his word. Because in his presence, living in his presence daily, consciously saying, yes, I am in the presence of God, means I'm going to be reminded of his word. I'm going to be reminded, hey, I'm not supposed to do this. Hey, I can have faith here because God knows my situation. Hey, I can live for God. I can talk about God. I can do all these things because I'm in the presence of God. God sees and hears and answers our prayers. That never changes. But what changes is when we say, I don't want that, and I leave, and I don't want to be reminded. Jonah kind of puts his fingers in his ears. God says, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah does this and kind of runs away and says, no, I don't want that. I don't want that for my life. The question is, are you being reminded of God's word today? Or are you fleeing from his presence? There's all types of things. When it comes to soul winning, when it comes to being faithful in church, when it comes to giving, when it comes to serving, when it comes to our family responsibilities, when it comes to our work responsibilities. You know, are we fleeing God's presence? Are we saying, I don't want to know his word? I don't know what to know what God has to say about this. I don't want to have any part of it. Are we putting our hands over our ears and running the other way? Because that's what Jonah's doing. Just because Jonah flees away, does that mean God's not going to be there? Sure doesn't. It just means that he has chosen to not to be reminded of God's word. How about you today? I know you're here on a Sunday morning in the month of February. There's people that are sick all around. You could have said, hey, I'm sick today. I'm not going to church. There might have been a few people who did that. I don't know. But at the same time, you got to ask yourself this question. Remember, we're considering his presence today. The amazing thing is we have a God who loves us and cares for us, and we are consciously, we live in his presence, whether we think about it or not. If we would consciously live in his presence, it would stop us from doing certain things, and we would feel comfortable doing other things. Mr. Parker sings that song about in the presence of Jehovah. But in the presence of Jehovah, there is peace. In the presence of Jehovah, there is comfort. Psalm 16:11 puts it this way, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. When I live consciously in the presence of God, I can have joy. Because why? Because I'm reminded of his word constantly. It's telling me, hey, I can live for God. I can do what's right. I can do what's good. But sometimes we say, I don't want that, and we flee from the presence of God. Last week we talked about, are you getting closer to God or farther away? And some of you might thought, well, what does that really mean, closer to God? Are you fleeing from the presence of God? Has God given you something to do that he wants you to do, something that you're supposed to be obeying, and you've just put your hands over your ears and go the other way? Second thing, not only is it God's presence reminds me of his word, also God's presence reveals his will. God's presence reveals his will. Look what it says once again in verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. All of us know that's God's will for Jonah. He wants Jonah to go to Nineveh. And it's easy to see. But the amazing thing is, God has a will for all of our lives. Every person sitting in this room, God has a will for you. God has a desire for you. God wants something for you in your life. And the first thing is to live consciously in his presence and let his word be remind you. But also while you're listening to his word and while you're being reminded of his word, you know what happens? It reveals his will. God speaking to Jonah, that's not the problem. God speaks to all of us. That's not the problem. God's given us his word. God has given us his spirits. God uses circumstances in his life to speak to us. It's whether or not we're listening. But as we are listening to his word, you know what happened? It reveals his will. He shows us what he wants us to do. If you're sitting there and you're living consciously in the presence of God and you're saying, I'm being reminded, okay, God wants me to forgive, God wants me to obey, God wants me to be faithful, God wants this, God wants that. What happens next is God reveals what he wants for you. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. That's obvious. And there's different reasons. Yes, the Nineveh people were very wicked. Yes, the people were very gruesome, and they were very cruel, and they hated the Israelites. The Israelites hated them, blah, blah, blah. But what was God's will for his life? Sometimes we're missing God's will because we're running from his presence. Sometimes we're missing God's will because we're not being reminded of his word. We all say, I want to know what God's will is. I wish God would write his will up in a sky, up on the sky, and so that way I can know exactly what I'm supposed to do. But in all reality, it starts right here consciously in the presence of God. And while I'm being reminded of his word and listening to his word, God then begins to reveal his will for your life. But many times as we're running away, we're wondering over here, okay, why doesn't God tell me what he wants me to do? Why doesn't God tell me exactly where he wants me to go? It's because we're not consciously in his presence. Instead, we've done what we wanted to. We're not being reminded of his word. We know what his word has told us to do, and we're saying no, but then we're saying, hey, but I want God to tell me what he wants me to do. Well, he has told you, obey his word to begin with. It reveals his will. Think about it for a second. You cannot expect to live from God in a distance and make right decisions. You cannot expect to be fleeing from God, not obeying his word, be on the way to Tarshish, and expect to make a right decision. It's just not going to happen. I am sorry, and I appreciate it. It's a little coy phrase that people say all the time. I prayed about it. If it is contrary to the word of God, you didn't pray about it. You didn't listen to it to begin with. God did not tell you to do something different than his word told you to do. And we got to remember that as you're walking away from God and you're fleeing from his presence, Jonah probably convinced himself, Jonah could probably even in that ship could pray to that, pray and say he's praying to God and said, oh, I prayed about it. No, if it's against God's will, if it's against God's word, then guess what? That prayer is nothing but feign. That prayer is just worthless because you're not truly seeking God's will. You've already made your decision and you're going to turn around and just want God to approve it. God doesn't work that way. If you truly want God's will for your life, you're going to have to live consciously in his presence and say, okay, God, I'm here. I'm listening to your word. Now reveal what you want me to do next. You can't be over there in the boat saying, okay, God, where do you want me to go next? God's not going to change his mind. He still wants you to go to Nineveh. He still wants you to do what's right. But so often, and you see in the story here, that he revealed his will. And you're not going to be able to be far away from God and think that you can make right decisions. God wants you to get near him. God wants you to get to a spot where you'll listen to him. God wants you to get to a spot where you obey him. You can't be running. You cannot be fleeing from his word and expecting that God's going to reveal what he wants next for you. Jonah had come to the moment where he had said pretty much, you know what, I'd rather die than keep on going like this. The storm's going, the storm's raging. I think it's in verse number 12 here. It talks about how he is cast into the side of the cast into the water. It says in verse number 12, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. He come to a spot and realized, you know what, I don't want to be here. This is wrong. I'm causing problems. And then in chapter number 2, we see in chapter number 1, he is swallowed by the fish. Chapter number 2, he's there and he's praying. What in your life is God speaking to you about that you're saying no to? What is it that God wants you to do? He wants you to stop fleeing. He wants you to listen to his word. But is there something that he's revealed to you as his will for you? And you said, no, I don't want that. And we run the other way. People use it, like I said, I've talked to many people who say, hey, I prayed about this decision. And even though it's unbiblical, I still have peace about it. They're not listening to God's word to begin with. It's consciously, they're not living in the presence of God. They've chosen to do what they wanted to and went the other way. And over there, they're saying, this is what God's will is for my life, but you cannot know God's will until you're willing to obey today. So is there something in your life that you know that God wants you to be doing? Is there something that he wants you to stop or something he wants you to start or something he's continually trying to draw you near? And that's what he's doing here with Jonah. Yes, he cares about the people in Nineveh. He loves the souls in Nineveh. But here he's dealing with Jonah. There was plenty of other prophets during that day that could have went to Nineveh. I mean, he was contemporaries to Amos, and he was contemporaries to even, I believe, in the times of Isaiah. He was contemporaries to some great prophets that God could have said, hey, look, Jonah's going the other way. Let's forget about him and get going. No, no, no. He wanted Jonah to come back to a spot that Jonah was near to him, that Jonah was going to be able to obey him, that Jonah was able to hear his voice once again. Remember, his presence is near you. His word is trying to speak you. Even the Holy Spirit of God prompts our hearts about what we should be doing. I think even when I sit and listen to preaching, maybe now God's speaking to your heart saying, yes, I know it's God's will that I be, you fill in the blank. I don't have to do that because the Holy Spirit does that. I know God wants me to be more faithful. I know God wants me to do this. The Holy Spirit speaks and prompts our hearts. What is that? That's him saying, I want you to be in my will. See, inside his presence, we're reminded of his word, but also we're revealed his will. I know for many years in my life, God had called me to preach, and I was doing what I wanted to, and I had not surrendered my whole heart to him. I was fleeing. I knew that God said, I want you to be a preacher, and I fleed from that. Over here, fleeing from that, I was sincerely seeking for God to tell me to do something. I taught an adult Sunday school class. I taught junior church. I did lots of serving inside a church. But over here, I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do with my life? But it wasn't until I was willing to obey his will to begin with that he would reveal to me what he wanted from me. God's not going to reveal that will until you're willing to say, okay, Lord, I understand I must consciously live in your presence. I must consciously look for your will here. I can't look for it on the way to Tarshish. I must look for it here and now. And you're going to come to a spot in a moment where you realize fleeing from God's presence is miserable. Living in God's presence is the fullness of joy. Doing the things the way we want to is going to be a life of misery. It might seem fun for a little while, but in the end, you'll realize that you're not where God wants you to be, and you're not living with God and being for God, and you've missed the whole purpose why God saved you. Over here, you have the fullness of joy. You have peace. You have comfort. You have, yes, sometimes hardships, but you have a God that helps you through all of them. And that's something that comes to the third point. God's presence requires worship. God's presence requires worship. So what does that mean? It means God is worthy of praise. God is worthy of worship. See, not only does God desire our worship, God is worthy of our worship. He wanted worship in Nineveh. He wants worship from Jonah, though, also. The amazing thing is that Jonah had to understand something. Before a godless person is ever going to recognize who God is and who they are, we must, as God's people, recognize it. Before we're ever going to make a difference in someone else's life, we must first worship him. Now, do we want those that are unsaved, those that people would call heathen of the world, do we want those over in another part of the world to know who God is and accept him and worship him and praise him? Of course we do. But his church has first got to learn how to worship in the first place. We must first learn how to bow our knee. What true worship is when we see who he truly is and who we truly are. And when we see who he truly is, we say he is worthy of all praise. We are worthy of all honor. And it is a privilege and an honor to live in his presence and have a God that cares about me and that loves me. I'm not going to flee from his presence. Instead, I'm going to flee to God. I'm not going to sit there and hold my hands over my ears to a God that's trying to loves me. I mean, who is he fleeing from? He's fleeing from a God that loves him, a God that cares for him, a God that can do all things, a God that has saved him, a God that has helped his nation. But he runs from that God. And so many times when we put our hands over our ears and say, I don't want what God wants, I am leaving the presence of God, and no longer do I want to be conscious of the fact that I'm not in his presence, that I'm in his presence anymore, we're leaving a place of provision, we're leaving a place of protection, we're leaving the place of promise, just like Elimelech did last week. He left the presence of God. He said, I'm going to take God out of the equation. I'm going to stop thinking that I'm consciously in his presence. I'm going to stop thinking about his word. I'm going to stop thinking about his will. And over here in Moab, it was dangerous for him. And the same thing with Jonah. He says, I know that I can't really get out of God's presence. It's foolish, just like Adam and Eve. It was foolish to think, well, I can just hide over here. Maybe God won't see me. Of course God saw them, but they said, I'm going to take God's word and God's will, and I'm going to take that out of my thinking, and I'm going to leave it behind. But today, is that what we've done? How about in your life? Has it come to a spot where you say, is there something in your life in his word that you says, no, I'm leaving that behind? It means you're fleeing the presence of God. You know God's will for you. No, I'm leaving it behind. But if you stand in the presence of God and live consciously in the presence of God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to say he's worthy of worship. He's worthy of praise. God gets a hold of his attention. And look what it says in chapter number 2. It's only 10 verses long, so I think we're going to go ahead and read it. But see the difference of what's being said here. Chapter number 1, he's, I don't want anything to do what God has me to do. Chapter number 2, he's in the belly of the whale or the fish, and he's praying to God. He's worshiping God. He's finally come to the realization who God is and who he is, and he is willing to pay back the vow that he made to God. And it says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, and in the midst of the seas, and the floods come past me about. All thy billows and thy waves pass over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters come past me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee in thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Those that observe, they listen to worthless truths. They forsake the mercy that God has for them. Then he says in verse number 9, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time." Let me tell you what I think is being said here. Jonah, while inside the whale, he had that moment. So like the moment that Ruth had last week, and she realized who God was, and she wanted to worship him. Sort of like the moment that the prodigal son had in the pig's pen. You know what? I can return to my father. In the whale, he came to that moment. He realized who God was and who he was. If you go back and you read that, he says, "I paid back the vow, that vow." I believe Jonah was a prophet. We know that from the Kings, the books of the Kings earlier. And I believe there was a time in his life that Jonah was in the presence, consciously in the presence of God. I believe there was a moment in time where he would say, "God, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, I'm willing to do it." He was living consciously in the presence of God. He was listening to God's word. God's will was revealed unto him, and he was worshiping God. But there came that moment in time when God told him to do something he did not want to do, and he fled from the presence of God. He even says in verse number 10, he had already told the men. It wasn't just something I'm making up. It was something he looked and said to the men, "I am fleeing from God's presence." He said that for himself. He realized in that whale who God was, and he realized there was a time in my life where I used to listen to God's word, and I used to know God's will for my life, and I worshiped God. And I made a vow unto him. And now I am willing to pay back that vow that I made. Inside God's will, inside consciously in the presence of God, there is joy. There is worship. So you see that, what is he doing there? He's praising the Lord. He's worshiping him. He's realizing that he forsook God's mercy. He forsook God's plan to observe a lying vanity. He listened to a lie of the world. He listened to a lie of the devil by saying, "Hey, you don't need to go to Nineveh. God's made a mistake. God doesn't, they don't deserve to be saved. There are people who hate you. They're going to do this. They're going to..." What God asked him to do was something that was very strange, very hard. It's sort of like going over to a terrorist group and saying to them, 40 days, you're going to be overthrown by God. That's sort of what God was telling Jonah to go in and do. But he forsook. He thought, "I can leave God's presence." The reality is we cannot leave God's presence. But we can forsake thinking about God's presence. You will always be in the presence of God, wherever you go. But we can forsake remembering that he's watching us. We can forsake the fact that we walk before him. We can forsake the fact that he knows everything we're doing. He sees everything we've said, and he knows our hearts about everything. We can leave that behind. And that's what Jonah was doing. He was leaving that behind. And so my encouragement to you today is run to him. In the presence of the Lord, living consciously in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Over there is misery. Over there is defeat, discouragement. We see the story of Elimelech. We see the story of Jonah here. Elimelech never got it. Jonah here in the whale gets it and understands it, and he begins to worship him. You think it's kind of interesting. When Jonah was doing things for himself, it talked about how he went down to Tarshish, how he went down into the boat, how he went down into the sides of the boats here. But you see in chapter number 2, when he begins to pray and get things right, it talks about how God brought him up and brought him up. And look what it says in verse number 6. "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, to the earth where her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption." You can continue to go down and down and down and try to get farther and farther away from God, but you're just as foolish as Adam and Eve to think that you can flee away from his presence. Or you can allow God to bring you up and draw you closer and closer to him. You can forsake the presence of God. You can put God out of your thinking. But God loves you, and he's going to try to bring you back into that right relationship. God's going to try to get you to, "Hey, there's something going on here." God sends the whale. God sends the storm. God sends the wind. God sends all these things. Why is that? It's because God loves Jonah. God desires for things to be right with Jonah. See, God has always been there. It's a beautiful example of, it's not about where God is. It's about where Jonah is. It's not about, "Hey, where's God at right now?" No, it's where you are at in this life. God has never forsaken you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God's presence is always there. It's whether or not we're choosing to run from it. Come back. Live consciously in the presence of God. And I'm not saying that we don't use that as a tool to tell our kids, hey, remember, God's watching. You know, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful. If we use that as a tool, we'll say, make sure you don't do these things. But we should also look at it as, in the presence of God, there is comfort, peace, hope, joy, strength. There is the fullness of joy. It's not just, I'm not going to do this because God is watching. I am going to do this because God is watching. I can live for him because a God that can do all things and a God can do everything has given me his word. He reveals his worth, his will, and I can worship him in his presence. I can't really worship him on the way to Tarshish. I can convince myself I'm worshiping him on the way to Tarshish. I can convince myself, oh, I prayed about it. If it's contrary to the word of God, then you're not praying to the right God there. You have to be understanding, okay, I'm living in his presence. I want to make sure my heart's right, and I want to make sure his word is right in my heart, and then he's going to reveal his will. And as he reveals his will, I'm going to learn how to worship him. Just like in chapter number 2, Jonah says, the Lord my God. Just like he says, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You know, he begins to praise. And the wonderful thing is, in chapter number 3, what happens? It says, verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. I like that. God was merciful to him. God didn't say, hey, you left my presence. You're not welcome back. No, he speaks again. When Jonah got to the spot where he remembered his word and he was willing to say, I know I'm in your presence, God. I know that you're the one I'm supposed to be following. I'm willing to pay these vows, blah, blah, all those things. Then God says, okay, I'm speaking to you again. The word of the Lord came a second time. You might be away from him today. You might be saying, hey, Pastor, I'm not really close to God. You know what? You can come back to him. And it begins by saying, I don't know everything. But I know God sees and hears me, and I want to live my life understanding that God sees and hears what I say and what I do. I want to live my life consciously in the presence of God. It's going to stop me from doing certain things, but it's going to encourage me to do other things. And while I'm learning his will and being reminded of his word, then I'm going to understand what his will for me to do next is. Say, Pastor, I don't know what God wants me to do with my life. I don't either, except for I know he wants you to live consciously in his presence. I know that he wants you to let his word do a work in your heart and you faithfully obey it. It talks about how Abraham walked before the Lord, and I think that's a wonderful phrase, that he walked before God, and how we should just walk before him. I'm just walking before you day by day. I'm walking with you, Lord. And daily I'm going to learn about you. And I'm going to let your word, reminded of your word, and then as the word reminds me, I'm going to know your will. And as I do your will, I'm going to be worshiping you because you're greater than anything else in my life. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.